Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. It's hard to believe that it's been 40 years since Walter Cronkite retired. And I know many of you know who I'm talking about. I was thinking about him last week because I'm just so tired of the spin, constant spin. I bet you're tired of it too. Those of you who are old enough to remember what the news was like in those long gone days, you know what I mean. Cronkite took it very seriously. Journalism as a whole made very serious efforts to report balanced facts and not to just give their opinion of things. Seems like every news outlet these days is choosing which news items they're going to put on the air and crafting their words to either make some event positive or negative, depending on whatever they want to accomplish with their broadcasting. And those who agree with that agenda, they find the newscast pleasing and sensible, highlighting the truth and rightly laying blame on those who are at fault. While those who happen to disagree with that agenda, they find that newscast grating and nonsensical, and it's just touting some falsehood and wrongly casting shade. So instead of the truth leading to informed decisions, so much of politics is boiled down to spin and who controls the knowledge? Who controls our knowledge of good and evil? That's not a political question. It's much more important than that. Who controls what we believe is right and what we believe is wrong? Is it that serpent on the tree? I'm referring to the serpent on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil at the center of the Garden of Eden. The serpent came to Adam and Eve there and he fed them his line. It's recorded, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And Eve replied to him, "We may not eat of the fruit of the tree, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So which is right? What God said or what the serpent said? It's a classic dilemma. If Eve believed and trusted God as the highest authority, then she knew that everything that God says is always truthful and good. The answer was obvious. But if Eve believed the serpent, then she would listen to what the serpent had to say. The objective facts are pretty simple. Eve knew that God was her creator and that all he had created was good. But here comes a spin. "You shall not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You can almost hear the word pshaw right there at the beginning, can't you? You will not surely die. According to these words, God had some hidden agenda. God had not told the whole truth to Eve. And as a result, Eve was just missing out. Just look, Eve. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. The serpent had no power over them. But the serpent's spin made God's words seem deficient. And the serpent's words seem better. The spin diminished the goodness of the Creator and made it less important than having knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil. That's the imagined ability to choose what is right and wrong in our own sight. And Adam bit into it too. He was right there with her the whole time. He went along with it. And once Adam and Eve surrendered their faith in God's word, the serpent gave them doubt and impatience and pride in exchange. And that great evil was done that day. The serpent set this in motion because he thought he knew better than God. He rebelled against what God had said. He sought to corrupt everything dear to God. And after this, the scriptures tell us that every human being was born in Adam's corrupted image instead of the image of God. And thus death came to all men because all sinned. After this, every human being born of Adam did not believe God's word by nature. Every one of us was born at enmity with the Creator. What a horrible disaster. Thankfully, God is not deterred. His goodness never wavers, despite what anyone wants to think. And he's not powerless to help either. He set about from that very moment to bring his children back to the truth by turning all the serpent's lies against themselves and all the consequences of evil to our good, as only God can do. And that's the background for the important event in our sermon text this morning, which is from Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 21, beginning at verse 4. There it is written, "From Mount Hor they set out by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food.' Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people in Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live.' So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live." So far, our sermon text. So who controls our knowledge of good and evil? The events of our sermon text are meant to show us that no matter what the spin says, God is right. The Lord presented an objective reality to the Israelites. The truth was not in them, constructed of their understanding and molded around by the serpent's spin from Eden. Reality was the fiery serpents. Reality was the painful bite. Reality was the bronze serpent on the pole. Didn't matter what they wanted to believe. You know how it is when you're faced with a difficult reality. Our mind wants to deny that it exists even. When death has taken away a loved one, we deny it for as long as we can. When the doctor comes to us with a cancer diagnosis, we deny it. But whether we deny it or not does not change the reality of the situation. When the Israelite was bitten by the snake and the venom made its way through vein and artery and the pain worsened, then it did not matter what he thought about it. All that truly mattered is what God had to say about it. The law of God works this way in us. It shows us that we are not the ones who decide what is right and wrong. It shows us the venom of that ancient serpent in Eden working its way down through artery and vein throughout our history. And it shows us that death is looming for all of us. It shows us that all that truly matters is not what we think or do, but rather what God has set about doing for us. So the Israelites despaired of their own power to save themselves. They despaired of their denying, and they heard God's word, and they looked to that bronze serpent. They looked and they lived. And that was God's doing. Looking at a metal sculpture has no power in itself. It was the powerful word of God and God's authority that brought about their healing. More than that, it was to be an enduring image for the people as they waited for God to make good on his promise to undo what the serpent had done in Eden. And that brings us to that dark night, to the events recorded in John chapter 3, where Jesus instructs Nicodemus with the full meaning of that bronze serpent in the wilderness. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That bronze serpent in the desert was a picture. And that's the picture that was all compressed into the first words of that most famous passage of Scripture from John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the message that God would have us hear, that he came down from heaven to fulfill the meaning of that bronze serpent and to take the serpent's place on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not to spin a new spin, but to bring about a new reality by taking upon himself our sins on the tree of the cross. By taking our sins down into the pit of death and hell in the tomb, and by rising free from them, rising from the dead on the third day to give us life. The serpent on the tree, overcome by Christ on the cross. Our Savior is the antidote for that ancient venom. So again, who controls our knowledge of good and evil? I tell you this morning, look to that dear cross and marvel at the empty tomb. And you will know the answer. It's not sin. It's not death. Not even that ancient serpent, the devil. The truth brings us fear of the Almighty whom we've offended with our sins. The truth sets us free by forgiving us our sins. Free to believe our Creator and God and take him at his word. So that we know that what he calls good really is good, and what he calls evil is truly evil. The truth shows us his great love for us in Christ Jesus, and it sets us free from the dread judgment that we deserve. Free to love him and trust him and gladly do his will in response to his love for us. God is right. Listen to his word. And this day rejoice in his forgiveness and mercy in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.